two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show?
Every moment of every show is available in podcast form.
By searching Hanson Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G.
Presented by U First Credit Union.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Subject of schoolgirl fantasy. She wants him so badly, knows what she wants to be.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. I'm in a bad mood today.
Oh, no, you're not.
A little bit.
No, I've been sitting here talking to you. You're in a good mood.
No, just what you just said right before we went to.
Oh, well, yeah.
That guy.
He always puts me in a bad mood. Yeah, and I can't remember when the conversation was, but I called Lloyd. I'm like, yeah, I just got off the phone with so-and-so. Things are looking pretty down.
Jeez.
Feeling like Eeyore.
Anyway.
I might as well not even go to work.
Why even try? All right. Let's get... What am I doing? All right. Utah. Let's talk Utah football. So you and I have Utah State going 9-3, BYU 10-2.
I've got and you've got 9-3 for both.
I'm sorry. Really hedging on the 10-2 for BYU. You know what?
Hold on, I'll switch it if you want to make the official switch. Hold on, I've got it. I've got it right here.
You know, keep me at 9-3. Now by the end of the show, I'll switch it back to 10-2.
Wait, hold on. I already switched it over to 10-2 now. So you want me to put you at what? Officially. Lock it in at?
What is my final answer?
Because right now I've got, officially on the document,
okay, we cannot,
I've got 10-2.
We cannot be the same.
We can. Absolutely. What if we're both right? Then that just shows the brain power of this show.
Look at the brains on those guys. Put me at 9-3.
All right. Scotty at 9-3 for BYU. Yeah. And 9-3 for USU, and I am at 10-2 for BYU, and I am at 9-3 for USU. Okay.
All right. Here we go. Utes opening up September 3rd, 3 weeks from tomorrow. Taking on the Florida Gators in lovely Gainesville.
Yeah. What a test.
I've got Utah winning that game.
What a perfect test for them.
I think this is an important game for Utah to not only win, but if it's at all possible, and it may not be, but if I'm Kyle Whittingham and I feel like things are really going my way, and you know how sometimes in the third quarter Kyle will kind of pull it back a little bit?
Yeah.
I say you pour it on.
Pour it on if you can.
If you can. Mm-hmm. And you may not be able to. But if you feel like you're starting to open things up there in the third quarter, let it go. Go into Gainesville and win that game by 14, 20 points.
What a great opportunity, not just for Utah, but for the soon-to-be Pac-10 to start something out against the SEC, against a very good, not a great SEC opponent, but a good SEC opponent. Florida's not going to be great this year. They're just going to be middle-of-the-pack SEC again this year. But that's still a big win for the Pac-10, and it would be a huge win for Utah. The moment's not too big, and the field's not too big. And I know because I've seen Kyle take on, was it Michigan that he opened up with?
Won both those games against Michigan.
Michigan was supposed to be really good that year, too, if I remember right, right? Mm-hmm. Was that Jim Harbaugh's first year?
It was his first year, first game in his first year at Michigan. And they came in, and Utah, it wasn't a blowout, but I felt like, it never really felt like Michigan was close to winning that game.
Is it his first or second year in the Pac-12, too, wasn't it?
Because
they replaced the BYU game with Michigan, if I remember.
It was 2015, I want to say, was that game.
They get a win against Florida.
Yeah, I agree with that. Southern Utah against Utes, against the Utes, September 10th. That obviously will be a Utah win. Mm-hmm. And then San Diego State.
The grudge match.
The grudge match after San Diego State was beating up Utah pretty good. Cam Rising came in, brought Utah back, went into overtime before the Aztecs were able to get the victory. The Utes certainly going to have a little revenge on their mind. This might be a circled game, and I think Utah wins that easily.
Utah wins the San Diego State game, and I think gets a little bit of payback on ESPN that night.
Then Utah makes their first conference road trip. They head to Tempe September 24th. Now, it's going to be crazy hot down there against Arizona State, still in late September. Arizona State's obviously a team in flux, but still a lot of talent on that team. And I think Utah still finds a way to win that game.
Arizona State's a mess. They should have got rid of Herm Edwards when they needed to get rid of Herm, when all the things were going down and assistant coaches were being fired, and he threw assistant coaches under the bus for illegal recruiting during the COVID era. Herm did some ridiculous things. I think he's lost the trust of the team. Arizona State's going to have some good moments, but Utah beats them and beats them soundly.
Oregon State, another grudge match.
The grudge match.
The Beavers rolling into Utah after Oregon State shocked Utah in Corvallis last year. Utes, though, get this game at home October 1st. Oregon State, much improved. And they've got that program on the right track. However, they're going to get run over on that track by Utah on October 1st.
Remember, Oregon State put up nearly 300 yards rushing against Utah in that game. 280 or...
Still makes no sense.
290 yards or something ridiculous like that. I wish people could have sat down with us when we were at Pac-12 Media Day, when Jonathan Smith sat down and scooted his chair forward towards the table and put on the headset, dropped the mic in front of his mouth, and Scotty said, "Hey, how about that Utah win last year?" I wish everybody could see the grin that formed across that man's face. It was the biggest, like, yeah, you saw that. Everybody saw that.
And then I followed it up with, "Oh, by the way, I call Utah State games," and had that game.
Yeah, yeah, and he was like, "Yeah, now this interview's over."
260 yards against the Utes, but more importantly, 6.8 yards a carry in that game against Utah. That's unheard of against the Utes.
It was crazy what Oregon State was able to do against Utah. Shouldn't happen again at Rice-Eccles Stadium. So I'm giving Utah a win there.
All right. I won't get to that. But right now we've got Utah at 1-2-3-4, 5-0 to start the season. And then you've got back-to-back games against Southern California teams. Chip Kelly and UCLA host Utah as the Utes make a return trip to the Rose Bowl to take on UCLA. Again, UCLA, pretty good team. I still think that's a game Utah wins and should win fairly comfortably.
Utah beats them.
Then you flip 6-0. Around. You return home to Salt Lake City as Lincoln Riley, Caleb Williams, and USC roll into town.
A 6-0 USC team.
I've not looked at their schedule.
Oh, let me give it to you.
Okay.
Because I've got it. Rice, Stanford, Fresno State, Oregon State.
Fresno could give them problems.
Oregon State, win. Arizona State, Washington State.
You know what's funny is Fresno State's the best team they're going to play in that stretch.
Is Fresno State going to be really good this
Fresno
year?
Fresno State's going to be really good. Yeah, they've got a really good draft, you know, probably top two, top three draft pick.
Oregon State.
In rounds, not overall. You know, Hayner's really good quarterback.
Oregon State is on the road. But yeah. Fresno's at home. Rice is at home. Arizona State's at home. Stanford is on the road, but I'm not even worried about it. Now, USC could do the USC thing and they could mess up, but they should be 6-0, right?
I would think so, yeah. So, they'll be favored in every game.
So
yeah.
We're talking about two 6-0 teams, and by that time, if Utah beats Florida and gets themselves to 6-0 when you go to meet USC...
Game day is going to be here.
They haven't had the AP come out, but the coaches poll put them at 8th. AP probably puts them somewhere between 6 and 8.
Yeah.
Game day will be here, and Utah should be ranked somewhere in the top 5, if not in the top 4.
Correct. And at that point, when do the college football rankings, college football playoff rankings, they come out about that same time?
Ooh,
maybe a little bit.
Week 8?
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe not quite that.
Not quite there.
But close. But this is going to be a huge game. And honestly, you look at the rest of the schedule, outside of a trip to Oregon on November 19th, this is the game that's going to say whether Utah goes to a college football playoff or not.
I was trying to find when those are released. That would be so sweet if it was released before that. It might be week 6. Next college, let's see. College football playoff rankings for 21. The first one was November 2nd.
Oh, okay.
Then November 9th, 16th, 23rd, November 30th. So, it's going to be just after that. But it doesn't matter. I mean, AP is going to have both of them in the top 10 and probably Utah in the top 5 safely.
If USC with Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley, if they start out the season 6-0, voters will crank them right up there so fast it'll make your head spin.
Absolutely, especially with the off-season news.
Yeah.
Everybody, USC is squarely in the eyes of everybody right now. Well, the nation just... looking to see, all right, well, what type of team just committed to the Big Ten? So, and Lincoln Riley could do it, and Caleb Williams is spectacular. We'll see if they flop like every other USC team we've covered since going back to Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Ooh. There has not been a USC team that has met expectations since Pete Carroll, for me.
Yeah. I mean, Clay Helton got 10 wins out of him 1 year, but... that was a surprise. I don't think anybody really expected it.
All right, so we've built it up now. Let's give a prediction here.
I think at that point, with Utah's experience, what they've got, I've got Utah winning that game.
Utah will win that game.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why, because I don't think it is going to be... I didn't see a speedster team that interjects a little bit of power beat Utah last year. Oregon State beat Utah with a bit of power. BYU beat Utah with a bit of power. You know, really just trying to overrun that defensive front. USC isn't, they don't have the bodies to do that. So USC's not going to win that game. So Utah goes to 7-0.
All right. Next up on the schedule for the Utes, and my computer just froze up on me here.
Washington State.
Washington State.
On the road.
On the road.
Late night kick on Fox Sports 1.
Can you imagine? Beating USC, being 7-0, and then going to Washington State losing that game.
I want everybody to just take a deep breath because it's a preseason prediction. Somewhere in that next 5 games, they lose.
Yes, I'm with you. I can't pick them undefeated.
Nope. Then I won't. Because we talked about this. There has not been an undefeated Pac-12 team since USC in like 2002 in Pac-12 play.
Yeah.
There has not been, let me say that again, there has not been an undefeated team in Pac-12 play going way back before Utah was a part of the Pac-12. It doesn't happen. So you can't pick it.
And this is, I don't want to, this isn't a classic Utah move. It's a classic Pac-12 move for a team like Utah to beat USC be ranked number 3 or 4 in the country and then lose the following week on the Palouse at Washington State. I'm not saying that's classic Utah. That just happens all the time in the Pac-12.
It's classic Pac-12.
Yeah.
And Utah had that inexplicable loss last year to Oregon State. So you got to work one in. The one I'm going to work in is at Oregon. After you go Washington State, Arizona, Stanford, I'm going to say that they lose at Oregon.
And the problem is you lose that late in the season, then that eliminates any hope of a college football playoff. You'd be better losing Arizona State at week 3.
What if you avenge it in the Pac-12 championship game?
That might help. That might help.
Because my guess is if they lose to Oregon, they'll get Oregon again a couple weeks later in the Pac-12 championship
game. And by the way, what you did to Oregon in back-to-back games last year?
Yeah.
And now you're going to Autzen, that place is going to be pipe hot and mad.
Well, and I don't even think Oregon's the type of team that's going to beat the University of Utah. Might be Colorado. Can't say it's going to be Stanford. I don't even think it'll be Washington State.
I don't think, obviously, it won't be Arizona. I don't think it'll be Washington State. But
and I still don't even believe that it's Oregon because Oregon's making this coaching change. And you and I talked to him. Great guy.
Yeah.
Great, great guy. But I think he's in over his head a bit.
Now, remember, there's no divisions this year. So Utah could lose to USC on October 18th and then play them again in the conference championship game.
Yeah.
And that might be your rematch to get you into the college football playoff.
Either way, you and I both have Utah back to the Pac-12 championship.
Yes, absolutely. I think there's only one loss in conference play. I think Utah goes 11-1 in regular season play.
What do you think of Dan Lanning when you talked to him? New Oregon head coach. First year head coach.
Yeah,
Georgia defensive coordinator.
Everybody's enamored with finding the wonder kid out there. Finding the up-and-comer. The dude's, what, 37, 38 years old? And thinking that, oh, that youth and that energy. But there's something about experience there, and he doesn't have it. This dude was coaching JC like 8, 9 years ago.
You've got 3 first-year head coaches. Now, they may have coached the FCS, but Dan Lanning, Jake Dickert at Washington State, and Kalen DeBoer. Because DeBoer was a head coach for the FCS.
Yeah, he was at Fresno and did a great job at Fresno.
That's right. For 2 years, 2 seasons?
Correct. Yep.
Then you got first-year Pac-12 coach Lincoln Riley. Just looking at this, man, you've got a lot of first-year head coaches, as far as Pac-12 is considered.
Yeah. Again,
4 of them.
I look at this. The schedule is not daunting for Utah. If you beat Florida,
BYU's schedule is tougher than Utah's.
Oh, by a mile.
Yeah.
By a mile. Utah doesn't have Baylor. Utah doesn't have Arkansas. Both Baylor and Arkansas would be right up there 1 or 2 in the Pac-12.
Yeah, Notre Dame, you'd probably
put them up there.
Was Notre Dame and Baylor were both selected in the top 10 of the coaches' poll or top 15 of the coaches' poll?
I don't have it. But, let's go back to Pac-12 Media Day. And let's pretend that Baylor's in the Pac-12, Arkansas's in the Pac-12, and Notre Dame's in the Pac-12. Where would they finish in the rankings? Would Utah be picked to finish first? Not above Baylor.
No.
And maybe above Arkansas.
But probably not above Notre Dame.
But probably not above Notre Dame.
Yeah. It's a really tough schedule.
So the reason I've got Utah right there on the heels of the college football playoff isn't necessarily because Utah is great, which I do think they're a really, really good team. It's because of their schedule.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got a couple of potential bumps in there with USC. Who knows what they're going to be? Florida, that could be a problem. It's been a problem. I went back and looked, Scotty, the last time Florida lost in their opener, their home opener, and I know that there were some neutral openers where they were the home team, but you got to go back. I think it's 2017 to Michigan. I think it's the last time they lost in, whether it's a neutral site home or it's just a home opener. I think you got to go back to 2017. And I think that Florida, Michigan, was that, that was in the swamp, wasn't it?
I want to, I thought that was, no, actually, I think you're right. Yeah, that was the swamp.
I got to go back and check now because I am so curious in this because when you're talking about a program like Florida who'd been doing this, all right, so Florida, Michigan. Michigan was ranked preseason number 11 in that game. Florida beat them 33-17. And let's see, Michigan hands Florida its first season opening loss since 1989. That was their first season opening loss since 1989.
Jeez.
That Michigan game. And they have not lost since in their season opener. I'm just trying to paint the picture for what the pageantry is for Florida and, yeah, and what the history is in that swamp in early September. It's not, no matter where they are as a program, and I know that they got a bunch of FCS teams in there. I get it. Nobody needs to explain anything to me. I've done enough research on Florida to understand what I'm mentioning here. So they've got a couple of cupcakes, but they've got a couple of really tough teams that are mixed in those season opening wins. It's just really tough to go do that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to say is that is one of their most difficult points of their schedule is their opener. It's, and not that Florida is going to compete for a national championship, but Florida in that place early, it's just notoriously difficult. I think, well, this is coming out of, I'll have to do some research and find where that game was played. The Michigan Florida game, where Michigan did get the win. It beat them soundly, 33-17.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, there you go. 11-1.
11-1 for the University of Utah, getting back to the Pac-12 championship game and avenging their one loss.
Wow. It's a big year for the Utes.
So let's say 12-1, Pac-12 championship win. Is that enough? Back-to-back Pac-12 championships.
Well, this is why you put the...
Well against Ohio State.
This is why you put divisions in and got rid of divisions so you could showcase your two best teams. So you can get somebody into the playoff. 12-1, I think, could do it if it's Oregon or USC.
I think having back-to-back Pac-12 championships and a good showing against Ohio State, I think those two things help you a lot.
Your one loss needs to be to either USC or Oregon. And you can't lose to Washington State. You can't lose to Oregon State. You can't lose to... You can't even go undefeated in Pac-12 play and lose to San Diego State. Like, you can't do that either.
Nope.
Like, it has to be USC or Oregon, and you need to avenge that in your Pac-12 championship game.
And hope you get the chance to avenge whoever you lost to.
Yeah, or get a second win against USC or a second win against Oregon.
And even then, it's like, is it?
Yeah.
Because everybody's projecting Alabama and Georgia are back in the college football playoffs.
And if this is the SEC,
everybody knows it.
And Alabama loses a game to Georgia in the SEC, but gets their revenge in the championship game, then there's not even a question Alabama's going to be in. Like, this is the Pac-12, and this is what the Pac-12 has to deal with, is the fact that there's no leniency for losses, unfortunately. Like, you have to go undefeated. Or you have to be one loss, and it has to be a really close loss against a really good team, because there's no margin for error.
There's no margin for error because there's going to be two SEC teams. And I want everybody to understand, Oklahoma has almost a cakewalk of a schedule. Do you know their only difficult game they've got on their entire schedule, Scotty, is against Baylor?
Jeez.
That's it. Their preseasons are UTEP, Kent State. They've got Nebraska, Kansas State, TCU, Texas, Kansas, Iowa State, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech. Oklahoma, all they got to do is breathe, and they're 11-0. And then they've got that matchup against Baylor. That matchup against Baylor is in Oklahoma, and it's later in the year. So Oklahoma, with their new coach and everything, I understand why Oklahoma is being picked to go back to the college football playoff, because everybody's looking at it saying they're going to be undefeated. because they don't play anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I'm saying is, if you're Utah and you're a one-loss Utah team and you got an undefeated Oklahoma team that's been to the college football playoffs four times, they've never shown well, but they've been there four times, everybody's going to look at it and be like, well, they did beat Texas. Well, they do got that big win against Nebraska.
Hey, Iowa State was no slouch this year.
Well, they got that Texas Tech game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're going to get that college football playoff pick if they're undefeated. So, and then, you know, the ACC is going to pump out some undefeated team because usually that's a cakewalk for one team or the other. So don't rest on feeling like, oh, one loss and we'll get there.
Nope.
Hey, Utah, quest for perfection on this one.
Oh, don't do that. We had a really good segment.
Are you glad those sayings are gone?
Oh, jeez.
You never have to face those sayings ever again.
Oh, my goodness. By the way, Jack sent us a DM, said the Michigan-Florida game in 17 was at Cowboys Stadium.
It was. Yeah, okay. So not even in the swamp.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Hans and Scotty, coming up next, we will announce number 16 in our top 60 and 60. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby?
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show? Every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by You First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I love our picks today. Today is, I think, right on the money. Number 16 is number 16. Not too high, not too low. I think it's right in the pocket.
Voters got this one right.
Agree or disagree?
No, I think this is good.
Oh, come on, video, send.
Why won't you send?
Maybe it doesn't like my nickname. Oh, there it goes.
There we go. It's posted. So let's get to it. Number 16 in our top 60 and 60.
Here we go.
Now let's get this party started.
This is the top 60 and 60 as the zone counts you down to the start of the 2022 college football season. And now it's time for today's selection as voted on by the local sports media and you, the fan.
We focus on a dynamic wide receiver that has amassed over 1,300 receiving yards over the last two seasons and will once again be another dynamic threat for the Cougar offense. At number 16, from Brigham Young University, 6'2", 195-pound wide receiver, Gunnar Romney.
Brigham Young University head coach Kalani Sitake.
Gunnar Romney, a big-time receiver for us, has made big plays. Keys to keep him healthy, deep threat down the field. Very much like our other receivers, they can turn a small route into a big play. Really looking forward to his senior year campaign.
This is the Top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. Top 60 and 60 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Coming in at number 16, it is Gunnar Romney, wide receiver for BYU. 60 and 60, brought to you by Cypress Credit Union, here to help with all your financial needs. Your future is their future.
Well, with Zach Wilson throwing to him, he was an 800-yard receiver. With Jaren Hall throwing to him, he was a 600-yard receiver. Had one more touchdown under Jaren, but no matter who's throwing to him, Scotty, you know this. We all know this, man. He's dynamic. He is dynamic. He's got great sticky fingers. The video was great. So much fun. I actually pulled a video that had every one of his receptions that was over 15 yards, and it was like a 3-minute and 30-second video loaded with just great receptions. And not all of them were deep routes. Some were quick comebacks where he avoided the tackle and was able to get himself around and get the extra yardage. But I think he's great, man. I think he's great. I did highlight one of the plays I highlighted, and you could go see all his highlights. I just put out the videos of him at 975 Hants, or you can find the write-up at kslsports.com. But one of the plays that I put on there was Baylor Romney in a play-action look to Gunnar Romney in a post slip that was awesome. Outran the defender. Defender got pressed on a man. Crossing route took the over-the-top safety underneath. They bracketed the crossing route, and Gunnar was just gone. And Baylor basically faked the dive and just lobbed it to the back of the end zone. And Gunnar ran under it. He's a really, really good wide receiver. Now, fingers crossed that he's 100% healthy when they kick off against South Florida.
And he's missed some time in camp.
He has, and, you know, we'll just go with what Aaron Roderick said. And we'll just keep it at that. Roderick said, we're going to be resting guys for
a little
time
load management, which
Holker was out that practice as
well.
I have no
issue with that.
So fingers crossed. And as we get closer to kickoff, I'll get as much information on that as I can. As of right now, I expect Gunnar to be on the field against South Florida. I don't see any other reason why not. And I know he's got some things that hamper him, just like everybody does. But keeping him off the field in the opener, I can't imagine Gunnar in his senior season, his last ride with BYU, his fifth and COVID season. This would be his fifth season.
Yeah.
He had 13 catches for 200 yards in 2018, 31 catches for 400 yards in 2019, 39 catches for 800 yards in 2020, and 34 catches for 600 yards in 21. How does he not end up as, I mean, if let's say he has a 600-yard receiving year this year, is he not the most yards ever in 5 years? That's going to jack up so many records, having 5 years of eligibility. Every school
should there
be
an asterisk next to his name?
Yeah. Heck yeah, man.
If I'm the guy that previously had that record and
like he had five seasons.
He had 5 years to get it done.
Like, give me one more. I'll go break the record, even at the age of 45.
Ben Cahoon's out there like, hey, give me another year. Let's go. We saw Ben the other day. I think Ben could probably still go out there and get 20 catches.
He's such a beautiful athlete. And he's got his good-to-go bars, and he's just built.
G2G.
He's just built.
And I like how when
I was his teammate for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I absolutely – can you use the word adore?
Yeah, I think so.
I adore him.
That's nothing wrong
does
with
that come across as like I think of him as like cute and simple?
No.
Because like I adore him because of how he treated me as a young BYU guy and because of how good he was on a football field.
I think you're totally fine with that.
I'll see if I can find a different word.
We adore Eric.
I will find a different word.
Eric is adorable.
Yeah, he really is.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
I'm going to find a different word.
Respect just doesn't have the same kind of...
Different descriptor.
Yeah.
Respect doesn't say enough for how Ben treated me. What bums me out is that Ben didn't get the run that he should have as a wide receiver coach. Ben comes in and he's like, let's go with this wide receiver thing. And they're like, well, sorry, done. Because I think Ben's a heck of a coach, too.
I do, too. Absolutely. Hey, I like how none of those G2G bars made it up to us. Like, Scott and Alex may have hoarded, because I think they brought in a significant amount of those G2G bars.
I think you, a helpful tip to the soda crew, let's let them know. Maybe that's good to go bars will show back up.
Are you saying that snitches get stitches, man? Yeah, I know about that.
I know, but I don't know. They're a solid calorie count. Wouldn't mind seeing those end up back in my lap. Oh. They're so good.
All right.
They're really, really good.
There you go. Number 16, Gunnar Romney on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
The Bad, the Ugly, brought to you by Zero Res, no soaps, harsh chemicals to clean those carpets. Right now, schedule your carpet cleaning. $33 per room. You're going to get three rooms at $33 per, so that's about $99. And then you're going to get the fourth room free. So four rooms clean for just $99. Search Zero Res online for details.
I want to defend Josh Allen in the good, Scotty. And I think that you'll be on board with this.
100% I'm on board with this.
But he's taken a lot of heat and criticism. This is what Josh Allen, the quarterback for the Bills, said. He said, I try to sign just for the kids. Talking about giving autographs at Buffalo Bills practice. He said, there's some, you hate to see it, and you know it, and you can tell it's not their item. It is what it is, but I pick out the kids. I do apologize to the adults. Kids are kind of what makes this thing go, and I remember that being a kid. So he seeks out the kids to give his autographs to. There's a lot of grown men that bring things to be signed by these quarterbacks, and then they sell it. It's how they make a living. Not some living, some make...
It's a little side hustle.
A little side hustle.
Yeah.
And if I'm Josh Allen, I care about that. If I'm Hans Olsen, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
If I'm Hans Olsen, I put it... Whoever puts something in front of me, that's fine. If I'm Josh Allen and my autograph is worth something, and I see some grubby dude that I know is going to have that thing on the internet, as soon as I sign my name on it, I'm like, no, nah, where's the kids? Get all the kids in front. Push the adults back. Bring the kids. That's what I'd like to see.
I am 100% on board with this for two reasons. Because if I'm Josh Allen and some 35, 40-year-old guy shows up and he wants my autograph, I'm thinking one of two things. Number one, he's going to take whatever he signs, he's going to put on the internet and sell it. And I'd rather give it to a kid who really appreciates it. And number two, if he just wants to keep it for his own posterity, that's weird. You're old. Don't do it.
Yeah.
There's like a certain age limit.
I'm with you.
And maybe it's 18. Where you cross 18, you shouldn't be getting autographs anymore just for your own personal enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's weird. Now, if you're looking for a side hustle and you trying to build up a memorabilia and sell it, I understand it and I get it and I even respect it. Because that's a way to make money. And if the player is willing to go along with you on that, then so be it. But if you're just doing it because, oh, he's my favorite player, I want to get an autograph, then you're weird and that's creepy and don't do it. Now, if you're a kid, yes, I love this. I absolutely love this.
Going even back to when you were a kid, have you ever sought out an autograph?
No. Nope.
I have a couple times.
Wait a minute. No. I take that back. When I was a kid.
I sought out John Smith's autograph.
John Smith?
John Smith. The Olympic wrestler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, big time. He was up there with like the Mondays and the Schultz and
okay,
just for Olympic appearances and medals.
Yeah, and that's great. If you're a kid, go get that autograph. If you're a grown ass man, no.
Yeah, no. And now I was 12 at a wrestling,
and that's totally fine. 18. I'm going to put it at 18. This is just arbitrary number set by me. If you're over 18 and you just wanted to get an autograph, that's creepy. What are you going to do with it?
Who's your current living sports hero right now? or not hero, but who's your kind of crush on a sports figure right now?
I think I'm old. Like, there's nobody that, like, back in the day, it was always John Elway. But I met John Elway once, and it was fine, and it just was like, okay, that was fun. But I'm
if John Elway came in to the studio right now and he was sitting down just to have a conversation with us, would you slide anything across?
No. Hey. And if I did, you have permission to come in and beat the ever loving crap out of me.
Would you ask him for a picture?
I think I would do it, but I'd want you and Eric in it because I think it'd be a promotional thing for the station.
Yeah.
Not that I would take it and frame it and put it in my house or anything like that. Like, hey, look, John Elway was in our studios. Let's take a picture and we put it out on social media. And it's more about us bragging about John Elway being in studio, than me like, oh, hey, look, everybody, I was hanging out with John Elway.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some of the sports figures right now. Like, I think Tyson Fury is one of those guys for me.
But you
would Amanda Nunez.
You wouldn't slide over anything.
Not a chance in ever living heck. Not a chance.
Peyton Manning.
You wouldn't get an autograph, though, Eric.
No, but I'd ask for a picture.
Yeah.
I would ask for a picture.
And I think when you get a little older, I think a picture is fine. For whatever reason, in my opinion, picture would be okay. Autograph, for some reason, seems creepy.
Well, one of the things that's happening right now at these NFL camps, Scotty, because they're letting fans come in, a lot of fans come in, and kids are crowding in there for autographs, and that's great and that's cute. But one of the problems, these sellers, these collectors, are now paying the kids.
That's dirty.
It's so scummy, and that's what Josh Allen was talking about. He knows that there's some kids that are being paid by these collectors because this kid's handing him like a 1984 Bills collectible helmet, you know, or something, and it's like, okay, kid, where'd you get this helmet? Like,
That's gross.
And then these 11-year-olds will take it and give it to the collector, and they'll give them $20.
Well, hey, good for the kid. Way to go make your money. But still, the whole idea of it's gross.
I hate it.
All right. We're running a little late. We'll shift bad and ugly maybe into a sports roulette. I think we have a couple open spots on there.
I'm just looking at this. We do. I mean, it's tight. It's 14 stories. We've had 28. We got 28 spots on the wheel. So we'll throw them on.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, Whole World News next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News, presented by City Creek Mortgage on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world.
It is Whole World News, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We span the globe to try to find something that hopefully will interest you.
One of my favorite things about Whole World News is asking the question, where was Lloyd yesterday? It's just one of my favorite things to ask, because every time there's a strange story, you always have to ask the question,
Lloyd?
Where was Lloyd? Like, did Lloyd happen to be in the Louisville area yesterday? Metro Police said that a truck carrying hundreds of cartons or cases of beer tipped over at 8:50 a.m. while traveling on Interstate 71. You can see all the pictures, and if you haven't seen the pictures, go check out the pictures. It's Bud Light. It was an entire diesel truck full of Bud Light cases, and the whole thing tipped over, the top popped off the truck, and all the beer and cans just poured into the median. And I have to ask the question, do you at that point just let the community have some type of cleanup party? Just set up camp, throw a couple pop-ups up.
Take what's yours.
Throw cornhole out. Just say, hey, let's take what's yours.
You want it? Come grab it.
Come take what's yours.
Because you can't resell that stuff, can you?
No.
So you might as well let somebody come in, clean them up.
Yes.
And say, hey, look, if you take one of these beers and it's been partly opened and it got a little, you know, some dirt in there and you drink it, you get sick, that's on you.
Yeah, don't sue us.
You're not going to sue us, but if you want to come clean it up, there you go.
I'll bet you'd have, in Louisville, you'd have that thing cleaned up.
Oh, yeah.
5 minutes.
Send something out on your official, what was it, Budweiser?
Yeah, Bud Light.
Your Bud Light Twitter account. The whole city would come and converge on that thing.
They would. And you'd get a cleanup crew in minutes come in and take up the Bud Light. This made me think of, like, this is a habit of mine. Tell me if it's a bad habit. If I'm like in a convenience store and the drink guy is there with his, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's bringing all the drinks in and I say, hey, you got an extra one? Is that bad?
No.
Because usually they flip me an extra one.
Do they? Wait a minute, it works?
Oh, yeah. I've gotten 10, 15 sodas.
Stop
over
it.
The years. Yeah.
So the guy's got the dolly. He's got all the cases.
Yep.
You don't see him inside. You probably wait until he's outside.
Yeah. Typically by his truck.
Yeah.
Got an extra one for me, boss?
He probably sees you. He's a little intimidated by you, too.
And it's like that commercial with Mean
Joe Green,
Joe Green
with a jersey and the Coke.
They like flip the soda at me and I catch it out of the air. No, I don't know. Maybe not 10, maybe 8 times over the years. I'm talking.
Hey, that's 8 free sodas, man.
No years. But it's, I don't know what it is. There's something about it that it's too tempting for me.
It'd be nice if the Sara Lee truck showed up.
I've probably been, I know, huh?
Got an extra case of those
pies.
Oatmeal cream cookies.
Those are good. Those are Little Debbie, I think. Are those Little Debbie?
Yeah. Oh, Little Debbie, yeah.
You're talking about the oatmeal with the white cream? And yeah, those are. I would ask for a whole couple boxes of those. Man, I love those. You want me to tell you my 3 habits at a convenience store? Moon pie, Pop-Tart, and those oatmeal Little Debbies that you're talking about.
Okay, I'm on board with Little Debbies. I've never bought Pop-Tarts except for when you got on that Pop-Tart run.
Yeah, they're typically 99 cents at a convenience store.
Moon pies, I can't get on that train with you.
Gosh, I love a moon pie. Oh, it's making me like really crave a moon pie. I love a moon pie and you take a big bite of it. It's got that little cookie middle.
Yeah.
And the marshmallow mush and then the chocolate blends in. And then I take a big pull off of my Diet Coke or something and it just expands in my mouth and it just, all the flavors.
So, all right, give me the Coke Zero, and you got to be careful with, because you can't go Diet Mountain Dew, or because Mountain Dew and a candy bar aren't going to go together very well. It's too sugary or too sweet.
Yep.
So you go Coke Zero because, you know, you got to watch those calories.
Yeah, you don't want to drink your calories.
Exactly. You want to eat
them. Everybody knows that.
And but there you go, either Snickers or you go whatchamacallit, perfect mix. Moon pie.
So.
Can't really hop on board with you on that.
I would take a moon pie over any candy bar.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I would take one of those oatmeal cookies you're talking about over any candy bar. I'd take it over a donut. I would take a moon pie and that oatmeal cookie.
Even a day old donut that you love so much?
Yeah. Well, you know, when we're talking about a fritter, maybe if we're talking about an apple fritter that's a day old. I hit those 99 cent apple fritters at a convenience store. All the time. And they almost have them daily now out by my house.
The new gas station you love so much, you probably have a connection. He's like, leave those donuts out a day. I'll be back tomorrow. They're fresh. I don't want them fresh.
Do you make friends with the people behind the desk?
Absolutely. And when I was
I love those people.
When I was in college and I was working at the Sev,
yeah,
you get those relationships. It can be a two-way street.
Sure.
Because those guys are usually working somewhere where they can help you out a little bit.
Yep. And that's all that needs to be said.
It's a transactional world we're living in, folks.
It is.
You let somebody sneak out with a little extra Slurpee, and then who knows what else could be coming your way.
As a former convenience store employee,
yes.
Did it bug you when somebody would fill up their drink, take some big swigs?
No,
and top
absolutely
it
not.
Okay,
no.
Good.
Come on. That's now, look, there's, I don't know where the line is, but if a guy downed an entire 32-ounce drink and then refilled it, then we probably got a problem. But if you're knocking back a couple drinks. A
couple pulls.
That's no big deal.
Take the top off and.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
And just hit the palate real quick.
It's the Frito pie that gets you upset.
That really rubbed you the wrong way.
Well, it just makes a mess.
Yeah.
Some guy goes over there, opens up his a bag of Fritos, dumps a bunch of chili, dumps a bunch of cheese into it, and then comes over and hands it to you, and you got to ring it up. Yeah, that's right. I'm gonna be a little aggressive with that thing.
I go through these strange convenience store addictions. And now I'm hooked on this one group. This one convenience store has these tamales. I told you.
Oh yeah.
I'm rolling the dice every time because it doesn't have a label on the tamale. But you pull it out of they keep them in a crock pot. You pull it out of the crock pot, take off your plastic, throw away the corn sheath. I hit it with a couple of things of hot sauce.
It does feel like you're on the fast track to E. coli right there.
Yeah, it's a dollar per, and I sit in my car and I'm just like, oh, I stole these. And I'm living on the edge. And if I die, I die.
If I die, I die.
But I'm going down with this pork tamale right now, right here. You know, my favorite tamale is a green chili and cheese tamale. Where they just, I think it's like a slice of an Anaheim chili.
Yeah.
That is steamed in with some really good cheese in a tamale. It's a no meat tamale, which is it'd shock a lot of people because meat in a tamale is really, really good.
Yeah, you get a little shredded pork.
I'm about the shredded pork. I'm not the chicken tamale guy.
No, nope. I'm not even ground beef. Shredded pork or nothing.
Where does tamale sit in the world of
should be
Mexican
higher
food for you?
It's like trying to think of a good band that you listen to and you're like, I should be listening to these guys more. But when you have a good tamale.
Peter Gabriel.
No, but nice try. Peter Cetera, maybe. But you listen to it, and you're like, I should be listening to this band more. They're really good. You eat a tamale, a really good tamale, you think, I should be enjoying these more often.
Yeah, because if I can get it smothered in a really good enchilada sauce, it's hard to beat that.
Are you red or green enchilada sauce?
Red, on a tamale.
Yeah. Okay.
Red on a tamale. But I'm kind of a mix red-green on a enchilada.
A lot of people don't know what's going on behind the scenes here is that you and I are also going on a little bit of a tangent because it's making Eric really uncomfortable because we're not on clock. And he knows he gets in trouble if we're not on clock.
Oh, shoot.
And so he doesn't want to jump in and yell at us to go to break, but wants to.
We'll get there.
Right?
A little bit, but I am also enjoying like tiering. You guys ever do the little tier things online? That could be something you two could do, and it would really generate some clicks. There's this thing where you can tier things online. You've seen this, right? Where it's like it's got the colored squares on the side.
I didn't know we were going to go down this path.
No, and you rank stuff. You know what I'm talking about? People do it with like NFL teams and quarterbacks all the time. You could do that with Mexican food. And you could probably put that up on your Instagram.
I know yours. Do you know mine? I know your favorite Mexican meal. Do you know mine?
Well, I know your favorite Mexican dish at a restaurant. Is that queso blanca fajitas?
Yeah. That's the best. That is the best dish. But
if you were to just pick a Mexican food item, I don't think I know yours.
It's chili relleno.
I should have known that.
Oh, man.
That's a solid pick.
I can't
go wrong with that.
Yours, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the pork, what's that green sauce?
Chili verde.
The chili verde.
Chili verde, yep.
I like a good cheese enchilada.
Now, honestly, if you could get
good flavors in that.
There was a place in the middle of nowhere, Grantsville, and I hope it's still around. I hope they made it through the pandemic. I've not been there in many, many years. But there's a little Mexican joint in the middle of nowhere, Grantsville, that did a chili verde chimichanga, which is one of my favorite Mexican dishes.
So that's a smothered chimichanga?
Yeah, with chili verde.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Sounds dangerous.
What's in the chimichanga? Is it like a cheese?
You can pick whatever you want. I would go with the shredded pork in it. But the chili verde had like a little hint of cinnamon in it. It was incredible. I could freaking wanted to just drink that stuff.
That's good stuff, buddy.
All right.
Spilt beers on the freeway.
That's where we started. Yeah. Go get your beer. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.